alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're recording. The missing part here is that we're going to talk about the name of Allah al-Hadi, and we ask how Allah is guiding us, the guidance provider. How is He providing us with guidance? Here, say five pillars of Islam. Here, sending us Quran and Sunnah. Here, did you say any?
No.
How about you?
The pillars,
huh?
Yeah, pillars.
Yes, we said the pillars of Islam. Yes. Huh? Sending messengers, huh? Sending books, scripture, which is the Quran.
Repent.
Okay, yes. The third one has to do with repentance. Not the last one, but the current one has to do with repentance, which is your father. You make a mistake, your father will punish you to stop you. But if he doesn't punish you, then yeah. So when your parents punish you, don't feel bad. They don't really hate you. But they're punishing you so that you don't continue, you fix yourself.
So you learn next time.
Exactly. So that you don't do it again.
Yeah.
You don't do it again. Okay? So they get you in trouble, okay? So that you don't do it. So a lot of people say, no, I'm not going to do this because I'll get in trouble with my dad and mom. Okay? Why? Because they will punish you. So he's providing you with punishments to guide you
to the right
things. Also, he is providing his names to us, the 99 names.
Yeah.
Allah's providing them to us to guide us. Also, Allah's providing the nature for us, the beautiful nature, so that we observe the beautiful nature and say, huh? When you're wowed, you say what? Subhanallah. So if you see something beautiful, you say, Subhanallah. You see something awesome, you say, Subhanallah. So Subhanallah means two things. It means wow. It means wow. And it means also that Allah is better than this. Allah is better than this. Like somebody tells you Allah sleeps, then you say, Subhanallah, that's right. If somebody says Allah eats, you say,
Subhanallah.
Good job. So Subhanallah. Okay? He also help us in so many other ways. In so many other ways he's guiding us. But let's say what we have right now is enough. But if you can come up with other ways for Allah to guide us, yes there are. Yes, there are. Okay? He provides us with life support. Okay? So why is that guidance? Why this has to do with guidance? It's because when He gives you life, then you can have a chance to be guided. You have a chance to be guided. He is not... He's protecting us from poverty, for example.
Poverty.
Yeah, because poverty. Because when you're so poor, when you're very poor, it's difficult to be guided when you're so poor, when you don't have to eat things to eat, and when you don't have things to drink. This is when you go to, you know, like, you can't handle it anymore. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the Quran. The Quran, which is a miracle that Allah sent to guide us. There is there's an opposite name to Al-Hadi, the guidance provider. The guidance provider. There is an opposite name to it in the names of Allah. What is this opposite name? Like opposite to Al-Hadi, opposite to the guidance provider, opposite to the ones who guide us, is what's the opposite? Guiding.
Misleading.
Misleading us. The one who misleads. The one who provides misguidance or misleading. Okay? Now, you say, hold on. Allah's providing misleading. How? How is He providing misleading? And then, if He's providing the misleading, if He's the one who's misleading us, then
who is guiding us?
Then where is the test? It's like you blame it on Allah. Like there was at the time, it's a joke, it's a funny story. At the time of Prophet of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar is the third Khalifa or second Khalifa?
Second
Khalifa, that's right. At his time, okay, there was a guy. And this guy said, he was caught stealing. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, you're caught stealing, we're going to cut your hand. So the guy started playing stupid. He said, but Allah is the one who misguided me. Allah is the one who is made me, Allah is the one who made me do that. It's not by my choice. I didn't have any choice because Allah is the one who misguided me and Allah is the one who made me do this. So Allah is the one to blame, not me. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, and I don't have a choice either in cutting your hand. Allah is forcing me to cut your hand. It's not up to me. Allah is the one who's guiding me to cut your hand. Okay? You see how he made fun of him using the same logic? Using the same logic. Okay? All right. So now, how is Allah is the model? How could this be fair if he is the misguidance provider or the one who misguides people? How is this fair?
Because he gives you two opportunities.
Because he gives you two choices and you pick.
Yeah.
In other words, like what he's saying, in other words, in a different word, he's saying that because you choose to be misguided, so he misguides you as a punishment. So if you choose to be guided, then he will guide you as a reward. If you choose to be misguided, then he will misguide you as a punishment. Do you understand?
Yep.
So guide you as a reward, misguide you as a punishment. So guide you as a reward, misguide you as punishment. So you make your choice and Allah provides things based on your choice. Okay? You understand? Because Allah could stop you from misguidance, right?
Yeah.
So Allah, you say, okay, Allah, I choose misguidance. Why doesn't Allah stop me from this misguidance? Because this doesn't fit. This doesn't work with the purpose of life. Which is, huh? Which is the purpose of life? Huh? Come here so that I can see you. Or go there. Because you're there, I'm focusing here. No, go there. Right there. Over here, that's fine. Okay. Do you understand now? So, if somebody tells you, Allah is the one who provides me with my misguidance, Allah is the one who is responsible of my guidance, the answer is, you chose to be misguided, and all what Allah did is give you what you want, or what you chose. Okay? It doesn't have to be, the bad deed doesn't have to be actually done. If you intend or desire to do a bad deed, it counts. You understand? We talked about this before. If you chose to bad deeds, then it counts. Okay? If you choose to do a bad deed, then?
It counts.
It counts like if you have done it. It counts as what? If you have done it. Why? Because you desired to make it. Just like we use an example of somebody who's going to the liquor store.
Yeah.
And then when he arrived to the liquor store, and he found it closed. Uh-huh. The liquor store was closed. Okay? Now, does this guy get the sin or not?
Yes.
He gets the sin. Why?
Because he went to the liquor store.
Because he wanted to get drunk. So he wanted to drink. But he couldn't get it.
He was just going to get candy and stuff.
Yeah, it's a liquor store.
He was what? What did he say again?
What if he was just going to get candy and stuff?
That's a good intention. That's not a bad intention. So, that's a good intention. For example,
candy's not healthy for you, but it's not like you're committing a sin. You're just getting something sweet.
I eat candy all the time.
Well, if... See, it's only if it's too much.
Oh, yeah. Like
if it's too much, it's bad. Like you keep eating like tons of candy, you're harming yourself. So Allah doesn't want you to harm yourself. So that's bad. Okay? All right. So why are you... Can I get it?
No.
Can you put it in your pocket?
Or are you trying to shovel it off
again? Put it in your pocket.
I am.
Okay. So, now, the miracles of the Holy Quran. Allah's providing these miracles in the Holy Quran so that we... He's to guide us. To guide us to believe that the Quran came from Allah. Because the first thing you say, the Quran is false. False means people who are not believers in Islam, okay? Or people who are not believers in general. They think that the Quran is not true. They think the Quran is what?
Not true.
So now Allah wants you to believe that the Quran is true. So Allah is guiding you to believe in the Quran is true. How? By what?
By guiding.
By bringing scientific miracles. So the scientific miracles we talked about last week. Okay?
Last week.
These are provided by Allah for us to learn. If the Quran is from Allah, then we believe that the Prophet Muhammad is right. He's saying the truth, right? Because where did he bring this Quran from? Where he did this Quran from?
He got it from the messengers.
Prophet Muhammad got Quran from Allah, right?
Yeah.
So the Quran will prove that Prophet Muhammad is a true prophet.
Yeah.
Because he brought us the miracle, which is the Quran. Okay. Now, Prophet Muhammad is the last messenger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, because he's the last messenger, he needs a miracle that doesn't die. I'll give you an example. What was the miracle of Prophet Isa? Miracles of Prophet Isa?
Edison, he can like bring people back from the dead.
And he can come back. People keep telling me they
last
come
bird.
Back.
That's right. That's right. All what he said is right.
Okay. He was born with miracles.
Miracles after miracles after miracles. And then at the end, because of these miracles, people confused him with Allah. Okay? So that's why Allah did not give Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all these miracles. Because he didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has proven to us before that miracles will lead to nothing but misguidance. Why? Because all these miracles made people believe that Jesus is Allah.
Who's Jesus?
Oh. Isa is Allah. Okay?
That's why
they call him Yeshua.
That's why Christians think he's the God, because so many miracles.
Yes. They were misguided to believe that there are so many miracles, then he
but
is
Muslims
God.
Muslims are not misguided, right?
Huh?
Muslims are not misguided.
Generally speaking, they are not misguided.
But
however, their behavior shows that they are misguided.
How?
Because they're, for example, if they are dishonest, if they drink alcohol, if they do bad deeds.
That's not part of the...
No, if they do this, it means that this is all misguidance. Misguided. So you can be guided to believe in Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but misguided because you're doing bad deeds. So you can be both. Misguided, guided in one area and misguided in another area. Okay, of course, the perfect situation that if you're guided in your faith and you're guided into your actions. But if you're guided in your faith but not guided in your action or misguided in your action, then this is not good.
So
this is bad.
Why do people, like I hear a lot of times that some people think that Isa will come back to Earth.
Who?
Isa.
Yes, of course.
When?
Near the Day of Judgment. Did you attend the assembly today?
No, I came
late. Okay, so that explains it. Because we talked about this specific issue today. That among the signs of judgment is Prophet Isa coming back from heaven. Is he dead?
No.
He's not dead. He's where? In heaven with Allah.
Isn't Isa like Jesus in Christianity?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
because
they take the same thing, they will come back from their
yes.
judgment?
Yeah. They believe he's going to come back, but I don't think they believe that this is going to happen in the Day of Judgment.
They don't have day.
but they also believe that he's coming back. So that's a common thing that in our beliefs with our cousins. So
there are cousins.
I still don't.
Yeah, cousins. Because the Jews are our cousins and the Christians are our cousins.
I still don't understand where the heck they got you know when Christ himself was crucified by the Romans? I still have no idea how they interpreted that as dying for their sins.
Paul came up with this idea. Paul? Okay. She asked a very good question. I'll share it with you. Who misguided our cousin, the Christians, is Paul. Paul.
Who's Paul?
Okay. Paul.
He was one of the... No. You know back then how they had missionaries? People of a certain religion, particularly Catholicism, Christianity, who would spread their religion by going around whenever they traded or traveled. Mm-hmm. Paul was one of the most famous missionaries back then, and he's basically spreading Christianity.
Okay, so there was Constantine, who quickly, just focus with me so that I can tell you the story quickly. Constantine was the emperor of the Roman Empire. When Prophet Isa came, his empire would split into two sides. One side believes in Prophet Isa, and the other side just are pagans. So the pagans who believed in Prophet Isa became the believers of Prophet Isa. And the other side, the other kind of people, were the people who remained pagans. So they started fighting. They started fighting together. So who were the ones who were fighting? Huh?
Isa and the people who don't believe in him.
Yes. So now that was ribbing the Roman Empire. It was ribbing the poor Roman Empire.
Yeah,
ribbing.
Ribs.
Ribs.
Ribs. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was. The Roman Empire was cut into two halves. Constantine didn't like that. Constantine said, in order for the Roman Empire
to
continue to be strong and superpowered, he said, I have, everybody has to have what?
One faith.
One faith.
And then all the faith.
Or one religion.
He did
a council called Nicaea Council. So Nicaea Council. Nicaea Council. So he did Nicaea Council. And the Nicaea Council, he invited all kinds of Christians. All kinds of Christians from everywhere. Okay. Paul, among them, Paul came. And he had followers. I think I read somewhere that he had 300 followers when he came into the conference. Everybody presented his faith to the council, and Paul did the same thing. Now, Paul's ideas were the Trinity, that God, Son, Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, okay? Son, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That was his idea. And that Jesus died on the cross, okay?
Yeah.
To wipe away our sins, to pay for our sins. Okay? They say that in order for Allah to be just and merciful, then he has to punish himself for our crimes so that we get salvation. So we're not punished for the disobedience or for the sin. For the sin of Prophet Adam, which is eating from the forbidden tree. They call it the original sin. That was the original sin. Okay? It's called eating from the forbidden tree. Eating from the forbidden
tree.
Okay? All right. So, they say they came up with this whole Trinity idea. Constantine and the council liked it so much. They say this is going to work with us really well. Why? Because it is going to be good for pagans and good for the believers of Prophet Isa. How? It's going to please the pagans, because pagans believe that
idols.
Believe in idols. And they don't believe that there's only one God. Pagans believe
polytheistic.
Yes. Exactly. They believe they have more than one God.
Yeah,
are you guys following me over there?
Yeah, are you following me? All that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dinosaurs.
So they believe that there is one God. They don't believe in one God. But the Christians believe into one God. So how could you reach a middle ground?
Cut it to two.
So number one, you say no. You break God into three. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So that was the first thing. So God is three, is not one. But for the Christians who believe only in one God, they say this Trinity, it's one God.
Yeah, all mixed into one.
Yes, they all one God. To please the Christians. And to believe the pagans,
they say
but this
three.
Guy is divided into three pieces.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the first one. The second one is that the believers believe that God is unseen.
Yeah. But the part...
Do you believe that God is a statue?
No.
Or do we have a statue for God?
No.
Do? Okay. So believers, Christian believers believe that there's only...
One God.
And this only one God is invisible. We can't see this God. Now, pagans don't...
They see it everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Pagans believe that...
Statues.
Pagans believe that...
They'll hold it.
Yes, there is a God. They believe that there are gods
like
that you can see.
They have the big guy in the homes.
Right, exactly.
Sitting in a statue.
Exactly, and they worship these things and say,
yeah,
these are our gods. Okay, so they don't buy into the idea of a God that can't be seen. They have to see a God.
Yeah.
Okay? They have to see it. Form
with their eyes.
Yes, they have to form it and
they
see
touch it.
On the other side, believers say, you can't see God. So how to do a middle ground?
No clue.
The middle ground, easy. The middle ground was that, okay, for the Christians, we say God is Jesus. So now they are happy.
They can see him.
Okay?
Yeah,
then now they are happy that God is Jesus and the Father in heaven. We can't see the Father. We can't see the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But... God is Jesus, so they are happy that Jesus became really God.
It's not even
a prophet, God. Okay?
Then why did they crucify?
So they had the middle ground there.
Yeah.
The ones who crucified him are the Romans. The Romans who crucified
him. Because they didn't like how Christianity was
that they thought of it as a threat.
Then Before common eras, when dinosaurs were there.
So, do you clearly understand that?
Yes.
So, Paul, now, there are Christians who refused. There are Christians who refused to believe into the faith of Paul. What they did, they went into the mountains and lived in caves.
Yeah.
They ran away into caves. And then they started living there so that they are not caught by the soldiers and executed. Because anybody who is found to teach or to learn to teach others, any other than this, then he's in trouble. Now, the Coptic Egyptian has Coptic. Coptic Egyptians had a difference in faith between the Roman Empire, Catholic, and between their faith. The dispute about the nature of Jesus. Was Jesus was a human or was he a God? When he was on earth. When he was on earth. So one of them says that, okay, Jesus, the God, the nature of Jesus being God overrides everything else. So when he was on the ground, he was actually God on earth. And then the other... The other belief, it says that no, Jesus was a human on earth. So now, the Romans could not even tolerate that much difference. So what they do, they invade Egypt. and they bring the Coptic priest and they hang them from the ceiling, okay? And under them they light candles. So the Christian priests, the Coptic priests, they sweat. And the sweat burns into the candle. So it smells like barbecuing them. So they were almost barbecuing them by candles. So that they quit. And the priests will not quit. They will say, no, Jesus was God on earth. Okay? Because his nature as God is infinity. And his nature as a human is
infinity.
No. It's just like whatever he lived on earth, let's say 33 years. Okay? So his nature as a God will override the 33 years. The other one says, no. He was a human on earth, and then he became God. Okay? Then he went back. So he came down as a human, and he went back as a human. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So who was the one who misguided? Who was the one who misguided Paul?
Paul. Oh, wait, no.
Allah. Allah misguided Paul because Paul wanted to misguide. Because Paul wanted to be misguided. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. So now back into the actual name of Allah Al-Hadi. Allah Al-Hadi. So Allah sent us Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad had a very simple faith. In Surah Al-Bayyinah, Allah explains that religions have been screwed up so much. Religions have been screwed up so much that the humans needed a new prophet, a new messenger coming with a new book to correct humans. So sending a prophet is not even enough. Why? Because a prophet is a teacher. A prophet is
a teacher.
A teacher. Prophet is a reformer. He's not a messenger. So Allah sent a messenger with a new book, because do you know that the actual language of the Bible is unknown to us?
Yeah.
We don't know. Is it Greek? Is it Hebrew? Or is it Aramaic? Is it Aramaic? Even if it was one of those three, they were written in the ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew, ancient Aramaic. Those
Armenian.
Are totally different. Aramaic.
Is that Armenian?
No. It's... It's like Latin to English,
okay.
Aramaic to Arabic. So the origin of English is Latin, right?
Yeah.
And the origin of Arabic is Aramaic. Okay?
That's
okay. So those ancient languages are dead. Dead, absolutely dead. Okay? Nobody knows what the language of the Bible is.
Me neither.
Okay?
It's English.
And if you have the original... The original Bible, you won't be able to understand it because it's written in a dead language.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If the Bible is in English, then how do other people in Europe learn the English Bible if they don't know how to speak English?
The Bible is translated. I have a Arabic Bible in my home. I have an English Bible, and I have an Arabic Bible. And I have an English Book of Mormon and Arabic Book of Mormon. Of course, I have the English and Arabic Quran. Okay? Do you understand this?
Yeah.
So, do you know the game of translation?
Do you have an English Quran?
Yes. Do you know the game of translation? Quran. Listen to this. Quran. Shh. Listen to this. Quran is the only book, only scripture written in a live language.
In a what?
Live language. Language that is being spoken today. That has been spoken today and still being spoken today.
Yeah, English is being
Arabic.
Spoken.
Arabic. Quran is, the original Quran is written in?
Arabic.
How many people speak Arabic on earth today?
A lot.
300 million people. So is Arabi a dead language? Is Arabi? 300 million Arabi live. Is Arabi a dead language? No. Even if you go to United Nations, you find the Arabi translator. It's a known language. However, the language of the Bible are all gone. Are all dead languages. And the language of the Torah,
Torah. I don't even know what language it is.
Torah is also, the language of Torah is also an ancient
language
that died. So, this is how Allah is guiding us. So Allah is guiding us by preserving the Quran. By what?
Preserving it.
Preserving the Quran.
Later we'll speak the language.
No. Preserving the Quran. One of the ways the Quran is being preserved is by?
Speaking the language.
By the language. So Allah preserved the language because He wanted to preserve the Quran. Because He wanted to preserve the Quran. Another thing about Allah, the guidance provider.
Yep.
The guidance provider is that He made the Quran impossible to change. How? How many copies of the
Quran? The book that has never been changed is the Quran. I heard
yes.
that in
He made the Quran be written during the time of the Prophet. Not only that, but also printed. And so if anybody would change the Quran today, would this person be able to get away with it?
No.
Why not?
Because
the font and stuff.
Because not the font and stuff. How many copies of Quran do we have around?
A lot.
Billions of copies.
They're all the same.
Exactly.
It's never been changed. That's
exactly. If somebody makes changes, then nobody on the face of the earth can change 300 billions of copies of the Quran. On the internet, many copies on the internet. Many books of the Quran. Billions of them. Nobody can change anything. Nobody can change anything.
Never been changed.
Exactly. Nobody can change anything. Okay?
And when the Islam is growing, when I was watching this video, there were these Christians outside in New York, those guys who asked you should be Christian or else you'll die and stuff, in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Preachers?
People talk, and maybe in Las Vegas, New York, they have these people who hold up, be Christian or else you'll go to hell or some stuff. Like
yes,
that.
Missionaries.
Yeah, those people who have a microphone and talk.
Missionaries.
How Christian is so good. No Muslim does that because they know Islam is growing, the fastest growing religion in the world. That's why no one...
No, actually... Islam... There are two kinds of preaching. There is active preaching and there is passive preaching. What you're describing is active preaching. It's like you stand on the street corner and say, you guys need to be Muslims or you go to hell or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? That's called active preaching. Passive preaching is like by being an example. Just by being a nice person and people recognize you. This is called passive, huh? Preaching. So in Islam, passive preaching is favorable.
But I don't
active preaching, active preaching is not good. It's not really good. You never see that happening, which is something good.
You never see that from Muslims. You never see people.
That's what I'm saying. Muslims do passive preaching. Passive preaching means you don't go door to door talking to people.
You talk to people in the bot, the Zoom app.
Yes, or if the people invite you for a lecture, then you talk. Something like that, which is called passive preaching. Okay, it's not active, it's not pursuing it. So the bottom line is that Allah is the guidance provider because He preserved the Quran and because He preserved the language of Quran. And not only that, you know how many people memorize Quran today?
How?
Millions. People memorize Quran. Memorize it from cover to cover.
Because it never changes, so it's easy to remember the same thing all the time.
Yes, but even if we assume for the purpose of discussion, if we assume that somebody was able to come and change all these electronic copies of Quran, and then he destroyed all these paper copies, okay? then you still, how can you destroy the Quran memorized by the people?
Oh.
Now,
killing the guy.
Another thing, whatever the book of Quran that you have,
yeah,
is not called the Quran. The Quran is the actual recitation of Quran. That's what it is. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. That is Quran.
So good. The but book writing is guidance.
Writing it is not the, because if you, there is a special way of writing the reading the Quran. So you have to learn the Quran from someone who was taught by the Prophet of Allah.
Because some copies can be...
No, the copies are the same. But the way to read, there are
different.
10 ways of reading. Yes, 7 major ways of reading. Okay, 7 major ways of reading. But anyway, the Quran is the guidance provider. Now, why Allah misguided Paul? Paul wanted to be misguided. Why? Because now he was chosen to be the biggest guy. He, by the way, Paul claimed to be a prophet.
Huh?
Paul claimed to be a prophet. Okay? All right. And Jesus came to him and he told him, do this and that. Salaam alaikum.